turn with me to page number 11, Heidelberg Catechism, questions 40 through 44, Lord's Day number 16. And so if you will answer with the answer, I will ask the questions. Question number 40, why was it necessary for Christ to suffer death? Because the justice and truth of God required that satisfaction for our sins could be made in no other way than by the death of the Son of God. Why was he buried? To show thereby he was really dead. Since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? Our death is not a satisfaction for our sin, but only a dying to sin and an entering into eternal life. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? That by his power, our old man is with him, crucified, slain, and buried, so that the evil lusts of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why is it added, he descended into hell? That in my greatest temptations, I may be assured that Christ my Lord, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, and terrors, which he suffered in his soul on the cross and before, has redeemed me from the anguish and torment of hell. So we have come to that portion of the Apostles' Creed that we just recited, just confessed, that coming to the very bottom, if you will, descent of our Lord Jesus Christ. That descent began by his incarnation. I don't know if you realize that. God became man and dwelt among us. That was the beginning of Christ's humbling. He humbled himself and became man, Paul writes in Philippians. It was a humbling thing for God to become man and dwell among us. And then Paul goes on to say, and he humbled himself and became a servant. And then he goes on to say, and he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. And he humbled himself in that it was the death of a cross. So how would you describe that humbling of Christ? Well, our confession says he descended into hell. He came to earth, which is hell. Compared to heaven, because of sin and rebellion and death, he came and was exposed and suffered all those things. And so he descended onto earth, and he experienced on earth hell. And it says, notice in our catechism, question number 44, that in my greatest temptation I may be sure that Christ my Lord, in this inexpressible anguish, pains, and terrors, which he suffered in his soul on the cross and before. Notice that. How many times during his earthly ministry, how frustrating it was for him to work with his own disciples, and they just didn't get it. And he says, how long will I be with you? Or with the unbelief of the crowds? Or with the antagonism of the religious leaders, even the sin of his family who would not believe in him, his brothers and sisters, his rejection by his own people that he came to save. The suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ was not just on the cross, but before. And all of these things is described of as being hell on earth. But even before, the Catechism focuses on this statement of death. Why was it necessary for Christ to die? And the answer is, the wages of sin is death. Either you must die for your sin or someone else must die. The justice of God, the truth of God requires that there be satisfaction for sin. the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the justice of God demanded a right judgment, a right satisfaction. And so the satisfaction was death. How do you know he was really dead? Because he was buried. He was identified. There are many accounts as to the validity of his death. The spear being thrust into his side and outflowing of blood and water. The description of his death was such that they didn't even need to break his legs because he was already dead. They did not need to make sure because it was evident, self-evident, that he was dead and he was buried. So then the catechism goes on to say, well, okay, so what does that benefit me? What about me and what about this benefit? But even before that, he says, he asks a question, well, then if Jesus has taken my sin and he has experienced the wrath and curse of God for my sin, even death, well, why is it that I die? We're all going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die and then judgment, and we're all going to die. Unless the Lord returns before our death, you and I will experience death. So why? If we're freed from death, in that sense, do we die? And the answer is, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. When you die, it's not for your sins. Your sins are already dealt with at the cross. Then why do you die? Catechism goes on. But only a dying to sin. And so death is a friend in that sense. Death frees me from that which is brought death to me, sin. It frees me from the curse here on earth. When we die, we're glorified. We will never taste death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. And so our death is a dying to sin and an entering into eternal life. If you ever want to read an interesting book on the various ways to look at death, there's a book written, Love is Stronger Than Death. And in that book, the author looks at death from five different perspectives. And one of those perspectives is for the believer. Death is a friend. Death is, we pass through that veil. Or another way he describes it, death is a mother through which we pass out of this life and into eternity. Different ways of looking at it. The unbeliever cannot look at death that way, but only as an enemy and only as a stranger. But we also understand that through Christ's death, we are freed from death. So the further benefits, taking up from Romans chapter 6, by his power, our old man is with him crucified, slain, and buried. Isn't that great? That old nature has been crucified, has been slain, and is buried. That old nature does not resurrect. We have been given a new nature. We are new creatures in Christ. If you are born again, if God has done that work in you, are a new creature in Christ. And so we don't have to obey the evil lusts or desires of the flesh anymore. Though the sin is still in our members, though we still have to battle against those things daily, yet we are not their captive. We are called to, because of who we are, because of what Christ has done, to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto righteousness, and to present our members as instruments of righteousness unto God, or as the Catechism says, to offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving, Romans 12:1, presenting our bodies and our minds, our whole being, for his glory. It is a hard subject to talk about, death, judgment, but yet, in one sense, it is also glorious to talk about because we've been freed from death. Where is your sting, O death? Where is your victory, O grave? The victory is Christ. Amen.